In today's wisdom journey, we return to the Ten Commandments given to us here in Exodus chapter 20. We could call the Mosaic Law the constitution and bylaws of the nation Israel. They form the moral basis for law and order in this young nation. As followers of Christ, keep in mind, we are not Israel today. The church has not replaced Israel. In fact, the nation of Israel will be reconstituted and all 12 tribes will be represented in that glorious future millennial kingdom when Jesus reigns on earth. But there's much that we can learn from the Mosaic Law because all of Scripture is profitable, and in particular from these 10 commandments. 9 of them express timeless, universal, moral absolutes. They are based on the character of God. They're not confined to Israel. Now, we've already looked at the first 4 commandments. These first 4 commandments are often called the first table of the law. And they talk about someone's relationship with God. Now, the final 6 commandments we're going to look at today are called the second table of the law. And they deal with someone's relationship with other people. The 5th commandment is given to us here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, right here, you notice the transition from our relationship to God to our relationship to others. And there's a clear connection between our vertical love for God and our horizontal love for our parents or anyone else for that matter. One author wrote it this way: when I have learned to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now. That's true, isn't it? A love for God produces a better, more genuine love for other people. Now, each of these commandments include a principle of grace. The commandment here protects the honor of the family. When parents are honored, it brings stability and order to any society. And that's a gracious gift then from God. And I want you to notice that God adds a promise in this commandment that's clearly limited to Israel. It's not given to you or me today. He says it this way: remember, if you honor your parents, you will live on in the land. That's the promised land. Now, I don't own any land in Israel, and I don't plan to move there just yet, but I can certainly obey this command to honor my parents. I can know that I am pleasing God in the process. Now, for some of you listening to me, this is a tough commandment. It's not easy to honor parents, perhaps who've mistreated you or even abused you. They didn't love you like they should have. Let me tell you that one way you can honor your parents is by praying for them. Pray that God will open their eyes to their sin and convict them, bringing them to repentance. There's no more loving act than praying for your parents, who in many ways might not deserve your time and attention. Now, the 6th commandment here in verse 13 is one that everyone's familiar with. You shall not murder. Now, the reason for this prohibition against murder is found back in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, for God made man in his own image. Murder is not only robbing a person of the precious gift of life, but it's also profaning God's image. Let me tell you, this commandment certainly includes the image of God in the life of an innocent unborn child. This law is also infused with grace. It's a reminder that life, your life, my life, everyone's life, is a sacred creation of God who is the giver of life. So every life is worth protecting. And built into this commandment is the warning that anybody who murders another person is going to one day answer to God. Now, here in verse 14, we're given the 7th commandment: you shall not commit adultery. We're living in a day when adultery is excused in any number of ways. You know, it's a passing affair, or it gives someone attention they feel they needed or deserved. Now, let me tell you, beloved, this universal commandment doesn't make excuses for it. In fact, it lets you know exactly what God thinks about it. Adultery is a direct attack upon the institution of marriage and family, which God established himself. But like any sin against God's moral law, God can still forgive. He can forgive murder. He can forgive idolatry. He can forgive adultery. In fact, he can restore marriages damaged by adultery whenever there's genuine confession, genuine repentance from sin. I've seen this take place. In fact, I've seen God bring healing to the heart of a spouse who suffered through the adultery of a husband or a wife. They saw their spouse repent, and then they offered incredible, I mean, really nothing less than supernatural forgiveness and grace, and God restored their marriage. Well, now here in verse 15, "You shall not steal" is the eighth commandment. The principle behind this law is that God owns everything. And as humans, we simply take care of the stuff God graciously gives us to manage. Stealing, therefore, is an attack on God. Stealing is really saying, well, God didn't give this to me, but he should have. Or God doesn't know what's best for me, or he'd let me have this, so I'm just going to take it for myself. Well, it belongs to him, so we're stealing from him. This law, by the way, is God's gracious way of saying that we can trust him. We can trust him to give us what we really need to have. Well, now here in verse 16, we're given another commandment. "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." This ninth commandment specifically has a courtroom setting in view, and this is where a lie can have the most devastating effect on someone's life, even to the point of bringing about a person's incarceration or maybe even execution. So this command then is another word of grace. It's God's gracious protection over someone else's reputation, even life itself. But at the heart of this command is a demand for honesty. Speaking the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Sound familiar? Our courtrooms are based on this principle. In fact, it's based on Jesus, who said, "I am the truth," John 14:6. So when we tell the truth, especially in difficult situations, we can be sure the one who is truth is standing with us. Well, now the final commandment is given to us here in verse 17. "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's." Now, this law is designed to stop a sinful act where it starts, in the heart, and it moves up to the mind, as it were. To covet simply means to desire. And when desire in the heart is misplaced so that it becomes that craving for what someone else has, it becomes sinful covetousness. You see, to covet is to say in your heart and then decide with your mind, "I've got to have that." Covetousness, by the way, is the central motivation behind sins like stealing and adultery. So this law is God's gracious reminder to desire him, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Jesus says in Matthew 6:33. And all these things, that is, all the things God wants us to have, will be added to you. Now, after the people heard God deliver these Ten Commandments, we're told that thunder and lightning and smoke and the sound of a trumpet came from this mountain, the Mount Sinai. Verse 18 says, "The people were afraid and trembled." Now, they could have spared themselves centuries of misery if they'd only maintained this awe and respect for God and the law that he had just given to them. Well, we've raced through these commandments in our wisdom journey here in Exodus chapter 20, but I hope you've seen that these laws are not just a bunch of rules imposed by some uncaring God. Oh no, they are gracious protections for his people. And because he is a gracious God, even when we fail to obey these commandments, there is forgiveness and there is hope. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.